Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph, we're up to the ninth line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Ami V'Nachri Ami Kodem Pshita. Yesterday we mentioned briefly at the very end of the day that if you have the choice of lending money to a Jew or a non-Jew, so you're supposed to lend money to the Jew first. The Gemara says, of course that's the halacha, what's the chiddush? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuda, Lo Nitzricha Da'afilu L'Nachri Beribis Uli Yisrael B'chinam. The chiddush is that even if you have an option of lending money to a non-Jew with interest versus a Jew without interest, and you could profit but from lending to the non-Jew, you still have to lend to the Jew first. Tanya, Amar Rav Yosi, Bo Ure'e Samyus Einehem Shel Malvei Beribis. Come and see how lending with interest causes blindness. Adam Kore Lachaveru Rasha Yorin Imo Lachayev. If a person calls someone else a Russia, that person that was called a Russia is going to be offended, and he's going to harass the guy who called him a Russia forever. He's never going to let it go. V'heim v'vien edim v'lavlar v'kulmos u'diyo v'chosvin p'loni zekafar v'lukhe Yisrael. But a person who lends with interest, it's so much worse that there are witnesses, and there's a scribe, and they come with their quill and their ink, and they effectively write and sign and seal this paper that says that this person is basically denouncing or is denying the existence of God because he's lending with interest. He's violating one of the halachos in the Torah. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Shlomo ben Elazar Omer, Kol mi sheyesh lo mos umalva usam shelo beribis, alav akasav omer kaspo lo nasan beneshech v'shochar al naki lo lakach, osa ila lo yimot liolam. Halamata shekol hamalva beribis nechasav mismotitin. The Gemara says that if a person lends money without charging interest, the pasuk in Tehillim says about such a person that he gives money without interest, he doesn't, he doesn't accept bribes, and anyone who acts in this way, who is above reproach, who doesn't charge interest or things of that nature, so it says that he's never going to falter. So the Gemara infers from this pasuk in Tehillim that if you lend money with ribis, then your financial standing and all of your estate is going to collapse, and you're going to lose all of your money. So asks the Gemara, v'haka chazina delo mos feber ribis v'kabes motudin. We see there are people who are honest people who follow halacha. They don't lend with ribis, and yet their financial standing also collapses. The Gemara says, no. Amar Rabbi Elazar, halalu mismotetin va'olin, v'halalu mismotetin ve'einan olin. Those people who do not lend with ribis, they may be in temporary financial straits, but eventually they're going to rise out of it. They're going to get back on their feet. But those people who lend with ribis, once their financial standing collapses, they're never going to rise out from that. Then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Chavakuk.
Sure.
We
were saying that, you know, the guys that lend with ribis, you know, their blindness, not physical blindness,
yeah.
It says, oh, because you have witnesses and you have a scribe and you have all of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of those people participating in the
There's two separate issues going on here. That line of the Gemara that you're referencing from earlier about the scribe and the ink and the quill, that's metaphorical. That's not a literal line. That just means that the guy did a very serious avera. You happen to also be correct, which we're going to talk about later on this daf. It's going to come up a little bit in a little bit next week, at the end of the perek, that yes, it's true that the prohibition of ribis doesn't only apply to the malva and the lova. It applies to the edim. It applies to the guarantors, as we'll talk about on the next daf. That's also true, but it's not related to that earlier line of the Gemara. Okay, then the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Yeah. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Another question.
Yeah.
All of these things are talking about loaning to individuals.
Right.
If I loan to a corporation, is there any...
So that's a famous discussion in the postgame. Yeah, it's a famous discussion in the postgame about that, about the nature of ribis, about whether it applies to corporations. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous shul about this, about whether there's a prohibition of ribis if it's not to a specific individual. Again, that's a whole separate discussion. It's a little bit beyond the scope of this year, but yes, it's discussed in the postgame whether that prohibition of ribis goes just beyond the individual. Okay, then the Gemara quotes a pasuk here from Chavakuk that says, "Lama sabit bogdim tacharish kevala." Why do you gaze? Why do you stare as this treachery is happening where the Russia swallows someone more righteous than he? The Gemara infers on this pasuk in Chavakuk that a Russia can swallow or overpower someone who is merely more righteous than him. In other words, you could have a person who is a tzaddik but slips up once in a while. He could be overpowered by a Russia. But someone who is a tzaddik gomor, who is free of reproach, who has never sinned, basically, so he's going to be impervious from any sort of attacks by a Russian. Okay, then where says Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Ger Tzedek ha'amr le'inyan mechira, v'ger Tosha ha'amr le'inyan ribis, eini yodea mahu. Rebbe says that there are two terms that the Torah uses in two different contexts, two different areas of halacha, that it's unclear what exactly, what type of person is being referred to. The first is the term ger tzedek. Usually ger tzedek is what we refer to as a ger, just a regular righteous convert. A person used to be non-Jewish, converted to Judaism. That's what we call a ger tzedek. So that halacha is a bit ambiguous. That term is ambiguous when it comes to the laws of selling an eved everything. We're going to clarify this in a second. And also the term ger tosha, which we also discussed yesterday. Ger tosha is a non-Jew who accepts upon himself to observe the Shemitzah of B'nai Noach, and he lives in Eretz Yisrael. That term is also ambiguous when it comes to the laws of ribbis. The Gemara explains. The Gemara says, Ger tzedekah amr li'inyin mechira dechsev v'chiyam lach achicha imach v'nim kar lach v'lo lach ala l'ger shenemar l'ger v'lo l'ger tzedek ala l'ger toshav shenemar l'ger toshav mishpach as ger zehan achri kishahu omer ole'e ger zehan nimkar la'avod as kochavim atzma. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Parshas Bahar that talks about a scenario of a person who is impoverished, and as a result of his financial situation, is forced to sell himself as an eved ivri in order to make some money. So the Gemara says, the Gemara derives from this pasuk, that the pasuk says that v'nim kar lach, he's selling himself to you. So to you implies it's just a regular Jew. But then the pasuk goes on to say, oleger, he can be sold to a convert. And then the pasuk continues, in other words, not just to a ger, but also to a ger toshav. And then oleiker mishpachas ger. Leiker refers to the offshoots, which is a reference to a non-Jew. He can be sold as an eved ivri to a non-Jew. And then also, mishpachas ger, or the phrase oleiker mishpachas ger is even a more extreme example, where you're sold as an eved ivri specifically to an idolatrous temple. In all of these scenarios, the Torah discusses the concept of the sale of an eved ivri either to a Jew, to a convert, to a ger toshav, or to a non-Jew. So the Gemara explains, Amar mar, velo licha ela leger shenemar leger, lememra de ger kane eved ivri. The implication clearly from this pasuk in Parshas Bahar is that a ger, a convert, can acquire someone as an eved ivri. The problem is, as the Gemara Uramini, ein hager nikne be eved ivri. The Gemara says that a ger cannot be acquired as an eved ivri, and neither a ger nor a woman can acquire someone else as an eved ivri. How do we know that? Ger lo nikne be'eved ivri v'shav el mishpachto ba'inon v'haleika. A ger cannot be acquired as an eved ivri because the Torah says in Parshas Bahar that one of the criteria of an eved ivri is that at the end of his servitude, he goes back to his family. A ger is not related halachically to his family. And then the Gemara says, ve'ein isha v'ger konen eved ivri, isha lavo rachara gernami gemire de mikne kane de lo makne lo kane. The Gemara says that when it comes to acquiring someone as an eved ivri, so a woman can't do that because it's not considered to be normal, it's not appropriate for a woman to acquire an eved because there are going to be rumors that she's having an illicit affair or some sort of a sexual escapade with the eved. And then when it comes to a ger, the Gemara says that we have a tradition that only someone that they themselves can be acquired as an eved ivri can turn around to acquire someone else as an eved ivri. We just established a second ago, because it says shavel mishpachto, that a ger is disqualified from being acquired as an eved ivri, and therefore, by default, he also cannot acquire anyone else. So this seems to contradict what we just said in the Gemara, because we just interpreted from the pasuk in Parshas Bahar that seemingly a ger can acquire an eved ivri. So which one is it? So the Gemara says no. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, eino kone v'dino ki Yisrael, avo kone v'dino ki nachri disanya, hanirtza v'hanimkar l'nachri, eino ove lo esa ben v'lo esa bas. The Gemara clarifies that a ger can acquire an eved ivri, but not to the same degree that a regular Jew can, but rather his acquisition of an eved ivri is more comparable to when a non-Jew acquires an eved ivri. What does that mean practically? The Gemara quotes a braisa that if you have an eved ivri who decided that he wanted to stay with his master, he didn't want to go free after 6 years, he had his ear pierced into the door, which means that we know that now he's going to be an eved ivri all the way until Yovel. Or if you have someone who was sold to a non-Jew, the Braisa says that once the master dies, the eved goes free. He doesn't wait till Yovel, he doesn't have to wait for anything else, he's not inherited by the children of the deceased of the master, but rather he goes free. So the same standards would apply here as well. If a ger acquires an eved ivri, once the ger dies, the eved ivri goes free. He's not passed down. He doesn't remain as an eved until Yovel. He doesn't stay with the children of the late master of the ger. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Mar, the ain isha of a ger konen eved ivri. We also said that a woman and a ger cannot acquire others as an eved ivri. So asks the Gemara, Nema deloki rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Tisanya isha kona es ashvachos, the ain a kona es avadim, rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel over af kona es avadim. So that line in the Brisa seems to contradict Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, because we have a Brisa here that records a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. According to the Tanakhama, a woman can neither. According to the Tanakhama, a woman can only acquire a woman as a shifcha kananis, but she cannot acquire someone as an evan. Again, for the same issues that we mentioned earlier, that we fear that she may be engaged in, that she may be engaged in illicit relations with them. But according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, he says that a woman is even allowed to acquire an evan. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tema Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel vilo kashya kan be evan ivri kan be evan kenaini evan ivri tsniela evan kenaini paritzla. According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, a woman is only allowed to acquire an evan kenani, but not an evan ivri. What's that distinction based on? Because the fear is that if the woman engages in some sort of illicit relationship with the evan ivri is going to be more discreet about it. He's less likely to talk about it because it's going to lead to shame in the community. So, in other words, therefore, the woman is not allowed to acquire an evan ivri because they can have an illicit relationship and he's never going to spill the beans on it. An evan kenani is much more, much more forthcoming. He's much less discreet. He doesn't really care if people know about all of his sexual escapades. And therefore, it's less likely that she's going to acquire an evan kenani for that purpose. Therefore, it's permitted for her to acquire an evan kenani because we don't think that she's going to engage in such a relationship with him. Okay, so then the Gemara asks, Ella hadistani Rav Yosef, Armalta lo tarbe kalba velo tishrei barbe rav de ushpiza. We have a brisa that says that if you have a woman who's a widow is not allowed to raise a dog in her house, and she's not allowed to provide lodging for a young Torah scholar, for someone who's studying in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara explains, Bishlama barbe rav tsniela. So I understand why she can't host a young Torah scholar, because he's going to be discreet, and if they're having if they're engaged in some kind of a relationship, he's not going to say anything, and that's going to be highly problematic. But Ella Kalba came on the Mishrich Bamiratza. But the question is, why is it problematic for a widow to raise a dog? In other words, if it were true that the widow was engaged in bestiality with the dog would never stop following her around, and everyone would realize that she's involved in some kind of a relationship with the dog. So the Gemara says, no. Amrei keva dechishadile umtza misrich basra, amrei inshe misham umtza dechishadile hu demisrich. The Gemara says, if you see a dog following a woman around, the first thought in your head is probably not, oh, she's probably committing bestiality. No, the first thought is she's probably feeding the dog food. That's the first thing that usually pops into your head. So in other words, the fact that the dog follows her around is not a dispositive that she's engaged in a relationship. That's the reason why she's not allowed to raise a dog. Because even if the dog followed her around, people wouldn't automatically assume that they're engaged in some kind of a relationship. And therefore, the Gemara says it's going to be problematic for her to raise a dog in her house. Okay, then the Gemara goes to the second clause of the price that we mentioned earlier. Gertosha ha'amr le'inyan ribis mayim. Again, we mentioned yesterday that there is no prohibition when it comes to ribis for a gertosha. So what exactly is the definition of a geratosha when it comes to the prohibition or the lack thereof when it comes to ribis? Dichsit, v'chiyamuch achicha umata yodoimach, v'hechazak tabo gervis osha v'chayimach, al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis v'yareisa me'lokecha, v'chei achicha imach. This is another pasuk from Parshas Bahar that talks about a person who is impoverished, he needs your help financially, so you're supposed to help him out. The pasuk says, ger visoshav v'chayimach, that he's a ger and a toshav, which again sounds like we're talking about a ger toshav, and then you have to help him out. And the pasuk says, al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis. You're not allowed to charge him interest, which seems to contradict everything that we've been saying until now. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Uramini, lovin mehenu malvin osan beribis v'chein beger toshav. The Mishnah from yesterday's daf told us explicitly that there is no prohibition of borrowing or lending with interest to a ger toshav. How do you square that with the Pasuk in Parshas Bahar? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mik siv al tikach me'itam, me'itok siv me'Yisrael. The Gemara says, we misunderstood the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Bahar is written in the singular. It says, al tikach me'ito, don't take from him, from a regular Jew. The Torah never forbids charging interest to a ger tosha. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis, avalata naselu ori. So the Gemara says, although it's true that there is a prohibition of charging ribis, of charging interest to a Jew when you're lending or borrowing, however, there is no such prohibition if you're an Arev, if you're a guarantor. So what does that mean exactly? Arev Lamai. Ilema Arev Liyisrael, V'hatana Elu Ovrin Belo Sase, Amalve V'halove, Ha'arev V'ha'idim. It can't mean that you're a guarantor for a transaction that involves two Jewish people, that Reuven wants to lend money to Shimon, and then Levi steps in as the Arev, because as Billy alluded to earlier, the Mishnah is going to tell us about Ayin Hey next week, that the prohibition of Ribbis applies to every single person involved in the transaction, not just to the Malveh and the Loveh, but to the guarantor, to the Eden, to everybody. So therefore, that's not going to circumvent the Isser. So the Gemara tries again. Elo l'nachri, the chevan de dine de nachri de azo basar arva, ihu nihu de kashak yomi ne ribisa. Maybe you'll argue that a Jew is allowed to be a guarantor on a transaction where a non-Jew lends money with interest to a Jew. The problem is, says the Gemara, that we're now going to be following the laws and the protocols of the non-Jewish people. What does that mean? That means that the non-Jews would always go to the guarantor first to get the money back, and then it was the guarantor's responsibility to go and recoup his money from the loveh, from the borrower. So if that's the case, that means that the Arev, who's Jewish, is going straight to the loveh, who's Jewish, and that's still a violation of Ribbis. So what's the scenario? What's the case where a Jew can be an Arev, can be a guarantor on a transaction that involves Ribbis? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Sheshes, Shekibel Alav Ladun Medina Yisrael. The case is, as we just explained, that it's a non-Jewish lender lending money to a Jewish borrower, but they agreed from the outset that they would follow Jewish law. And again, according to Jewish law, you don't by default go to the RA, to the guarantor first. You first try to collect from the loveh, and only if and when the loveh doesn't have any money, then you go to the RA. So that would circumvent the problem of ribbis. So asks the Gemara, Ikibel alav ladun medina Yisrael ribbis nami lo lishkol. Okay, but if they agreed to follow Jewish law, then ribbis should be totally off the table. So the Gemara says, no. Amar of Sheshes, Shekibel alav lazo, velo kibel alav lazo. Meaning, the non-Jew agreed to follow Jewish law vis-a-vis going after the loveh before going after the guarantor, but he never agreed to not accept interest. That wasn't on the table. He never agreed to not accept the ribbis. Okay. Then we said in the mission this very cryptic line yesterday. Malve Yisrael ma'osav shal nachri midasa nachri. Tanu Rabbanan. Malve Yisrael ma'osav shal nachri midasa nachri. Avalo midasa Yisrael keitza. Again, this mission, the line of the mission from yesterday seemed to say something along the lines of that you can lend money. You can, in other words, a Jew can lend money with the knowledge or the consent of a non-Jew, but not with the consent of a Jew. So what does that mean exactly? Yisrael shalova ma'os min anachri beribbis. A Jew goes ahead and borrows money from a non-Jewish lender with interest. Then it turns out that the Jew realizes he doesn't actually need the money. So now he wants to return the money back to the non-Jewish lender. So Mitzal Yisrael Acher V'Amerlo Tenei Ani Alelecha Kederech Shat Malelo Aser Vim Hamido Itzel Nachri Mutter. Let's say before the Jewish borrower has a chance to return the money to the non-Jewish lender that he now realizes he doesn't need, he bumps into another Jew who actually does need the money. He says, listen, give me that money, and I'll do the same thing that you agreed to. I'll pay it back with interest to the non-Jew. So the Gemara says that's totally usher. He's not allowed to do that unless they both come back to the original non-Jewish lender and the non-Jew agrees to such an arrangement that it's okay, that it's fine. Then he can give the money to the other Jew and then he can repay the non-Jewish lender with interest. And then the Gemara quotes the reverse of this. V'chein nachri shalava ma'os mi Yisrael beribis uvike shlach azir lo matzu Yisrael acher v'amar lo t'nei li v'ani al l'cha k'derech shatama lo mutter v'im hamido itzli Yisrael usher. And the reverse is also true. If a non-Jew borrowed money from a Jew, then realized that he didn't really need the money, he runs into another Jew who says, give me the money and I'll repay the Jew with interest. So if they make such an arrangement, not in the presence of the original Jewish lender, that's okay. But if they make the arrangement in the presence of the Jewish lender and the Jewish lender agrees to the arrangement, that's going to pose a problem because now the Jewish lender is accepting interest directly from a Jew, which is obviously a problem. So the Gemara explains, Bishlama Seifa L'chumra Ela Reisha Kevan De'in Shlichos L'Nachri Ihu Nihu De'kashak Yomine Ribisa. The Gemara says, I understand the latter case in the Bryce where it's the non-Jew who initially wanted to borrow money from the Jew. And then it turns out that he didn't need the money. Now a second Jew wants to come and reclaim the money and then eventually pay back the Jew. So there we say that it's a chumrah. We say, okay, even though it wasn't direct, but it's a chumrah for the sake of Hilchos Ribbis. But in the first case, where it was the non-Jew who was the lender, so the whole problem is that that's not just a chumrah. There's a concept, as we're going to discuss for the rest of this daf, of ein shlichus lenachri. A non-Jew is not subject to the laws of shlichus. He can't appoint you to say, okay, you hand the money over to the other Jew and now the other Jew is responsible to pay me back. That doesn't work. And therefore, if that doesn't work, this is not just merely a chumrah. This is a problem midoraisa. For the Jew to then hand the money over to another Jew, he's effectively creating a scenario of ribbis min haTorah. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach mishmei de Rav Acha berei de Rav Yika Hacha b'mayaskinan could go into Amar lehi nicham al gabe karka v'hipater. The case is that the non-Jewish lender says to the first Jew who now wants to pass the money over to the second Jew, he says, okay, just put the money down on the ground and then you're going to be dismissed, then you're free to go. And then the second Jew goes and picks the money off of the ground. So the question, of course, is Yahachim Ma'ilam member. So what's the chiddush? Then obviously the first Jew is not in violation of Ribbis. He never handed the money over to the second Jew. So the Gemara says, right, Elo Amar of Papa could go shenato v'nasan biyat. The case is that the non-Jewish lender took the money out of the hand of the first Jew who no longer wants the loan and then puts it in the hand of the second Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, the Akati Ma'ilam member. That's still obvious because, again, the two Jews are not having a direct interaction. So the Gemara says, no. Mahu desema nachri gufik hi amir adaita diyisoka gamir v'yohiv kamash malan. The one could have argued that perhaps the non-Jew is almost acting as the representative or acting with the consent or the knowledge of the Jews that are involved, and therefore it's almost the equivalent of one Jew handing the money over to the other Jew, and I might have thought that's a violation of Ribbis. Kamash Malan says the Gemara that is not considered a violation of Ribbis. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Amrinan Ein Shlichos L'Nachri Hanemili B'Sruma, Aval B'chol HaTorah Kula Yesh Shlichos L'Nachri. Comes Rav Ashi and says that this concept that we just put forth about how there cannot be shlichus for a non-Jew. A non-Jew cannot be appointed as or cannot appoint someone as a shaliach. Says Rav Ashi, that's only true in the realm of hafrashas truma, of separating truma. But when it comes to every other area of halacha, a non-Jew is very much subject to the laws of shlichus. However, the Gemara rejects this. The hadder Rav Ashi barusahi. The statement of Rav Ashi, it's a fabrication. It's made up. It's wrong. It's erroneous. Maishna truma delo dichsev atem gam atem. Why is Rav Ashi's statement a fabrication? Why is it wrong? Because the whole source, the whole proof text for the concept of shlichus is derived from Truma. It's Pesukim at the end of Parshas Korach. That's the source for the idea that only a Jew is subject to shlichus, not just in the realm of Truma, but in Kol HaTorah Kula. Then the Gemara tries again. The Gemara says, Elo de Rav Ashi Barusi. So it must be that Rav Ashi's statement is in fact wrong. Then the Gemara has a second version. Ikra da Amri, Amar Rav Ashi, ki Amri and the second version of the Gemara, so Rav Ashi says that only time we say ein shlichus lenachri, that means that a non-Jew cannot be a shliach for a Jew, but the reverse, a Jew could be a shliach for a non-Jew, and the Gemara again rejects that. Rav Ashi barusani maishna in hulididan dilo dichsev atem gam atem lerabo shluchachem ma atem bnei bris an shluchachem bnei bris anan ledidu nami ma atem bnei bris ka'amar. The Gemara says this statement of Rav Ashi also doesn't make any sense because it's basically a two-way street. But the Torah tells us in Parshas Korach, Kain Tarimu Gamatem, that a Jew is the one who's going to separate Truma, that works in both directions, both if you're the Shaliach and if you're the Mishaleach. So the Gemara says, Elo Hadar Rav Ashi Baru, so it must be again that Rav Ashi's statement is incorrect. Then finally, the Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Nehi de Shlichus Lenachri Lesle, Zechia Midrabanan Isle, Midi Dahave Akatan, Katan Lav Avagav de Lesle Shlichus Isle Zechia Midrabanan, Hachanami Loshna. Ravina wants to argue that although it's true that there is no Shlichus Mida Orais for a non-Jew, but there is a concept of zechia midrabanan. Zechia means that a third party can basically cause the non-Jew to acquire the item. That's not quite the same thing as appointing him as a shaliach, but there is such a concept midrabanan. The Gemara compares it to the case of a katan. Although a katan is not subject to the laws of shlichus, a katan cannot be appointed and cannot appoint someone as a shliach, but he is subject to the laws of zechia. For example, I can acquire something on behalf of a katan. That works midrabanan. That's called zechia. So perhaps the same should apply for a non-Jew, and the Gemara rejects this as well. Vilohi, Yisrael, Asi Lichlal Shlichos, Akum Lo Asi Lichlal Shlichos. The Gemara rejects this because a Katan will eventually become a Gadol, and a Gadol is subject to Shlichos. A non-Jew is never going to be subject to the laws of Shlichos. So therefore, the Gemara says, just because a Katan is subject to the laws of Zechiyam, that's only because eventually he's going to be subject to the laws of shlichus. Whereas a non-Jew, barring conversion, which is pretty rare, most of the time a non-Jew is never going to become subject to the laws of shlichus, and therefore is also not subject to the laws of zechiyah. Okay. So.